Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Alpek's third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. With us this morning, we have from Alpek, José Valdés, CEO, Eduardo Escalante, CFO, and Hernán Lozano, Head of Investor Relations, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions that you might have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's website, www.alpek.com. I'll now hand the call over to Mr. Lozano. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome. We very much appreciate everyone's participation today. This call will be divided into two parts. First, Mr. Valdés, our CEO, and Mr. Escalante, our CFO, will provide a general overview of Alpek's third quarter 2016 performance. Afterwards, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before we get started, let me remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. Alpek undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Pepe Valdés.
Thank you, Hernán. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Consolidated third quarter results were below our revised guidance amid a weaker-than-expected oil and feedstock price environment. Brent and PX prices dropped suddenly in July after posting a favorable month-to-month recovery throughout the first half of the year. This kind of price environment weighed on our polyester segment, which was also impacted by an extended scheduled shutdown in Argentina, lower margin associated to this quarter's PET sales mix, and weak polyester fiber demand. Moreover, reference Asian PTA margins were relatively flat quarter-on-quarter. We will expect the gradual reference margin recovery to resume under a more stable oil and feedstock price environment. Plastics and Chemicals segment EBITDA fell as expected due to lower polypropylene margins after achieving record-high profitability in the last two quarters. Reference North American polypropylene margins were lower during the third quarter but appear to have stabilized after the February peak and the downward trend observed in second quarter 2016. Polypropylene margins remain above their historical levels, and industry experts estimate this to be the case in the foreseeable future, supported by robust North American industry fundamentals. As anticipated in our previous call, the region's inventory levels started to normalize during the third quarter, and the incentive to import Asian polypropylene into the U.S. was diminished by recent price dynamics. I have to add that in spite of all of this, our margins were slightly better than the guidance, but we suffered a reduction in volume versus our guidance as a result of a surge in propylene prices during the last 3 months. This increase in prices was due to some unplanned shutdowns in North America and also in Europe, and tightened the supply-demand, and the propylene increased significantly from mid-30s to $0.43 per pound in October. We expect these prices of propylene to recede, to go back perhaps to the original levels. In the meantime, this has certainly created some speculation from the market, from the customers, that expecting that these propylene prices will come down, back down, have reduced the volumes. Again, our margins were in line or slightly ahead of our guidance, but the volume was slightly lower as a result of this increase in propylene prices, which incentivized customers to reduce inventories and reduce the purchases. Well, despite the expectation for lower plastics and chemicals EBITDA during the second half of 16, this is set to be another record year for our polypropylene and expandable polystyrene businesses. On the M&A front, this quarter we acquired a controlling stake in Selenis Canada Inc., and we also received a 30-day extension to the exclusive negotiation period with Petrobras. I'm glad that we were able to close the Canadian transaction for several reasons. Selenis Canada operates the only PET facility in Canada, which complements our footprint in North America. And also, we believe there are valuable synergies to be captured by integrating these assets to our broader polyester platform. And eventually, this plant, this Selenis plant, is very well suited to manufacture PET specialties or differentiated products, which we plan to undertake in the next years. An additional, of course, we it give us home for some of the PTA that we have in our Mexican assets. Regarding the potential acquisition in Brazil, the latest development was the 30-day exclusivity period extension provided by Petrobras and announced on September 27th. For now, there are no new developments to report. We will provide a public update on any news related to this matter. Before moving on to the next section of our call, I would like to make a brief comment on the impact of Hurricane Matthew. On October 10, our DAC America subsidiary issued a notice that the storm constituted an event of force majeure, giving supply chain disruptions at several of our PET facilities. In particular, its 170,000 ton per year plant, Cedar Creek in North Carolina. We made the decision to shut down three of our polyester plants in anticipation of the hurricane. And one of them was the Cedar Creek facility, 170,000 in North Carolina. And the other one was the PET similar capacity in Cooper River, and the fiber and the staple fiber, polyester staple fiber plant also in Cooper River. So the three plants were shut down in anticipation to the hurricane. And I'm glad to report that the state of these all three plants is good. We didn't suffer any major damage in the process plant itself. We have faced some disruptions, particularly in the Cedar Creek plant, related to flood water damage on the railways and other logistic infrastructure in the area. More than again with the manufacturing assets. The manufacturing assets are all in very good shape. In fact, two of the plants that we shut down are right now in the process of, I think, starting to produce first grade. That would be the case for the Cooper River staple fiber plant and the Cooper River PET plant. Both of these plants are now producing first grade since last night, and we believe that they will continue to normalize over the next couple of days. However, the Cedar Creek facility, and again, due to some of the impact in the infrastructure and next to the plant and the railway, we will not be operational or producing first grade perhaps until beginning of next week, we hope. And we are doing everything possible to supply or to minimize the allocation from this force majeure by supplying products from our other facilities. So we hopefully will not create any major problem to our customers. And again, if everything proceeds as we expect, starting up next week, I think we will minimize the problem for most of them. Again, our team is working very hard to resolve all the difficulties that this hurricane has imposed on us. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Eduardo, who will discuss our financial results.
Thank you, Pepe, and good morning, everyone. 3Q16 was marked by a volatile and weaker-than-expected oil and feedstock price environment. Even though the average Brent oil price decreased less than 1% versus 2Q16, Daily prices went down to $40 per barrel in the beginning of August, compared to $48 per barrel at the start of the quarter. Feedstocks had mixed price movements. Paraxylene decreased 16% versus 3Q15 and 5% from June to September. On the other hand, propylene prices also decreased 14% year-on-year, but increased 30% from June to September. In this context, Alpek 3Q16 consolidated revenue was down 8% year-on-year and flat quarter-on-quarter, as volume growth was more than offset by lower average prices. Besides the impact on revenue, feedstock price movements also resulted in a $7 million non-cash inventory devaluation charge for polyester and a $6 million non-cash inventory gain for plastics and chemicals. Third quarter consolidated EBITDA was $157 million, including a $1 million net non-cash inventory devaluation charge and a $6 million cash gain from an insurance claim associated with an unplanned PET plant shutdown in Argentina during the third quarter 2015. Adjusting for inventory losses and the non-operating insurance gain, comparable consolidated EBITDA was $152 million, which is in the low end of our estimations to achieve a $320 million EBITDA in the second half of 2016. In the case of polyester, third quarter comparable EBITDA was down 17% year-on-year, due mainly to the decrease in oil and feedstock prices, plus the effect from this year's lower polyester fiber demand in North America. When compared to the second quarter, comparable polyester EBITDA decreased 11%, reflecting the impact from an extended PET plant shutdown in Argentina, combined with a lower margin PET sales mix. The plastics and chemical segments third quarter comparable EBITDA decreased 15% year-on-year and was 29% lower than 2Q16, mainly as a result of polypropylene margin contraction, as discussed before. Our revised guidance considers an even lower plastics and chemicals EBITDA this quarter, mainly due to lower conservative polypropylene and expandable polyester estimation. However, solid EPS results contributed to better than expected segment performance. Moving down on the P&L, Alpek's third quarter consolidated majority net income totaled $50 million, up 30% year-on-year, driven by a combination of lower non-cash foreign exchange losses, lower income taxes, and higher operating income. Year-to-date, consolidated majority net income increased 16% relative to the same period in 2015, mainly driven by higher operating results. Regarding our balance sheet and certain cash flow items, net debt was $915 million, up 39% year-on-year and flat quarter-on-quarter. Our net leverage ratio stands at 1.3 times, supported by a strong EBITDA generation. On an absolute basis, net debt has increased $193 million year-to-date, which is largely in line with our initial estimations. No dividends were paid in the third quarter. Accumulated dividends stand at $205 million, including a scheduled 2Q16 payment from Polioles to its JV partners, Alpek and BASF, following last year's sale of Polioles polyurethane and EPS businesses. The dividend paid by Polioles is offset by the payments the company has received this year. Year-to-date taxes include approximately $45 million in one-time payments related to the previous fiscal year and to the sale of Polyolefins expandable polystyrene and polyurethane businesses. Net working capital is one of the few line items that have been higher than we had anticipated. The increase was driven by our polyester and EPS businesses during the first half of the year. Investment in net working capital turned positive for the first time this quarter, reducing the year-to-date figure. CapEx reached $270 million at the end of the third quarter, 81% more than the same period in 2015. The majority of these funds have been invested in Alpek's strategic projects, which I will discuss next. Construction at the Corpus Christi PTA PET plant is advancing. A startup is expected in 2017, beginning with PET and followed by PTA before year end. This quarter, we made the final payment associated with our supply rights from this facility. Investment in the Altamira cogeneration plant is quickly ramping up as expected. Progress is also ongoing in the construction of the two propylene spheres and the EPS expansion in Altamira. In contrast, we decided to delay the polyester fiber expansion at our Pearl River site for further economic review given current polyester fiber market dynamics. This is one of our smaller investments and was scheduled for a startup in late 2016, early 2017. This concludes my remarks, and now I would like to open the call for questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, simply press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Also, if you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, press star 1 at this time. We'll pause a moment. And we'll first hear from Vanessa Quiroga of Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. First, I wanted to ask about the polyester segment. Can you explain what you are seeing in terms of activity in Asia regarding the shutdowns that happened last year, and whether you think that all the benefits in terms of better pricing dynamic, supply demand, have been fully reflected already, or if there is additional benefits that should be reflected going forward, or if you think that the fundamentals have changed in a way that your expectation regarding those benefits for the industry dynamics are reduced now. Thank you.
Good morning, Vanessa. I would say if you measure the situation in the Asian PTA PET margins, I could say that for the last 7 quarters now, actually the margins of PET to paraxylene and glycol have been quite stable from first quarter in 15 to third quarter in 16. We've seen the margins move somewhere between $200 and $215 per ton. This we believe to be very low margin, below cash cost. So to be honest, we haven't seen a recovery in terms of the margins that had to do with the shutdown of some of the facilities in Asia. I think part of the reason is still a very significant overcapacity. So we still have we're still pending to see some improvement in this chain, and in particular, I would say But, you know, if you want to be optimistic, we're starting the fourth quarter with relatively stronger margins for PTA. Not necessarily PT, but the PTA is slightly stronger than what we had seen during the previous, six or seven quarters. The margins are, in October, approaching the $85 per ton of PTA over paraxylene. So it's a slight improvement from what we had seen in the previous months. But no, we do still believe that gradually the margins will have to come up a little bit in Asia. We, as I said, we have not experienced this. And in fact, over this time frame of first quarter 15 to third quarter 16, the margins have averaged the lowest level in history. Okay, even in 14 and 13, 12, 13, 14, margins were like $240 versus $200, which is the latest number we have for third quarter 16. So there is still room for some recovery in these margins.
Okay, Pepe, do you think that this low recovery is related to reduced demand overall, I mean globally for the product, or what has caused, in your view, that?
Mm-hmm. No, I think it has been mostly capacity, additional capacity driven. We still saw some expansions in PTA, PET, until this year. I do believe that the capacity utilization globally, and particularly in Asia, starts to improve from now onwards. I think we are pretty much touching the bottom, and we will see gradual improvements in the years to come. But it has not been faltering of demand. It has been more than anything, assimilating new capacity additions that have still, that still came in last year and this year. So we do still have some expectations that this will continue to improve. I mean, that will start improving gradually.
Do you see room for additional shutdowns or because I think that there's still expectation of some new capacity, right?
Well, you might be right, but also demand is growing, so the net. In the net, you know, the capacity utilization should be improving. In terms of new additional shutdowns, I will tell you something. I do believe, in particular, in Korea, we might see something happening. I don't know to what extent you are aware, but the Koreans are importing more than 1 million tons of PTA into Europe. And they and there is an anti-dumping process. A suit in process. So depending on how that comes, you know, you might see some, I think, rationalization in Korea, PTA in Korea in particular, because, you know, if they get this dumping in Europe, and I mean, 1 million tons is a lot of volume, even for them to lose. So I would say that is perhaps one of the most important aspects that we have to be watching over the next months, but this anti-dumping has already started, and I don't know. I think probably beginning of next year we should have an idea, or what type of duties are going to be imposed on these imports from Korea.
Okay, Pepe, that's excellent feedback. I would like to ask about polypropylene also. Can you be specific about what margin? What margins polypropylene has right now in North America or Mexico, whatever data that you have on top of your mind, and whether you think this is a sustainable spread versus Asia at the current levels?
Well, the normal margins for polypropylene in North America, let me say, has been from, 2004, 2005 until 2014, around the 9 cents per pound. And it was fairly consistent over all of those years, 9 cents per pound for almost, as I say, 10 years, or perhaps even more than that. Then last year we had a remarkable increase in margins. Last year the margins in North America went up to 17 cents per pound from 9 to 17 in 15. And the estimation for the average for this year until the end will be 23 cents per pound. So we move from 9 to 17 to an expected number of 23 for the whole year, 16. Right now we are around 19 cents per pound. And this number, we have estimated in our guidance a number around 18 cents. So we're slightly ahead of the guidance estimate. But as I did explain, you know, the problem in this quarter a little bit was with volume, that customers anticipating that this propylene price increase is going to come back down, we're not buying everything. And it's remarkable to say that we were able to keep a 19 cent per pound margin in spite of an almost 10 cent pound increase in propylene. Okay, so that meant with the prices it remained quite strong, and we do have right now a propylene price in North America is 43 cents per pound contract price versus 35 cents per pound in Asia propylene. So we have an 8 cent per pound disadvantage. So again, we have 19 cents with eight cents disadvantage. So eventually, I think the key for us is to be able to maintain this margin for the remaining of the year, which we believe we can. But in reality, the most important aspect is to make sure that the propylene prices go back to parity with Asia, which we had experienced during the first half of the year. If propylene goes back or goes down 8 cents, let's say, go back to 35 cents, which is the price in Asia today, well, I do believe that in that case, there is room for improving in the margin in North America. Conversely, if prices of propylene stay high in the 43 or whatever range, I do believe that we might experience a further decrease in margins, because it's not going to be easy to stop imports from Asia with such a big difference in propylene. The expectation, I would say, of the experts, consultants in the industry, is that that the prices of propylene will go back to I would say mid-30s, which is the level that Asian prices today. So should that be the case again, I think there is probably an opportunity for some improvement in margins. And again, if prices were to stay at 43 or 40, 41, then perhaps we might have to make some adjustment in the margin into next year. So that is the dynamic. And again, very difficult to forecast, because it really now, I think, is depending. I mean, the capacity utilization is strong in North America, as we have explained to you. But certainly such a big disadvantage in propylene could incentivize imports again.
Thanks very much, Pepe.
You're welcome.
Next, we'll hear from Nicolas Lippmann of Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, and thank you very much for the call and for taking my question. Two questions, and both of them on the acquisitions. So first on Canada, can you give us a little bit of light on how you're thinking about sourcing PTA for that asset, and also to what extent that any EBITDA generation of that asset would play into the fourth quarter numbers in order for you to meet the guidance? So that's question number one. Question number two, if you could give us a sense of how you're doing in relationship to Brazil and the potential acquisitions down there. Thank you very much.
Okay, Nicolai. First, with regard to Canada, I would say that there are interesting opportunities in Canada. As you are well aware, there is a PTA plant in Canada very close to Selenis in Montreal. There is a PTA plant there, and it so happens that the owner of that plant, which is Indorama, happens to be our customer in Mexico. So if we were to be smart, I think we could have some sort of swap agreement there and take advantage of the logistics. Okay? Where we would buy from them in Canada and they would buy from us in Mexico. So that would be, I think, the most logical outcome. And in terms of the results for fourth quarter, third quarter and fourth quarter, well, you have to remember, Nikolai, that as a result of the anti-dumping that was imposed on China, India, Oman, and Canada, the Canadian plant was only half loaded because they were exporting a lot of PET into the U.S. This PET into the U.S. with this dumping is not, let's say, attractive anymore. And so the challenge here with the Canadian plant for us is first of all, to increase our market share in Canada, which is what we are working on right now, trying to load more the plant in with Canadian product. And but number two also is to, as I mentioned, to develop new products, new PET products with higher margin that will fill the plant. The market in Canada, I mean, the plant capacity, I would say, is 140,000, 150,000 tons. The market in Canada might be 80,000 to 90,000 tons of PET. And so we have a 50,000-ton gap that we are working to use by producing specialties. And so that is the story. And of course, capturing the largest, a larger market in Canada, we can do relatively quickly, we believe. But developing the specialties will take a little bit longer. Okay? So that would be the plan. It will not probably be very accretive in this next 6 months. But hopefully, gradually, it could become a very important asset in terms of value creation. And again, in terms of the price that we pay for the asset, okay? As you can imagine, we did not pay replacement cost for this asset. It was below replacement cost what we paid. So I think again this makes sense for us long term.
Got it. And in terms of the Brazil, is there anything you can say about any potential progress?
Well, I mean, the Brazilian asset is really very strategic for us. You have to remember, first of all, we are exporting 300,000 tons of PTA to Brazil on a yearly basis. Second, we have a plant in Argentina to produce PET that consumes 150-plus tons of PTA that we could ideally import from Brazil, which we're not importing from Brazil today, but we could do that. I mean, it would make a lot of sense. And then, again, we do believe that with our technology, there is a lot of improvements that we could make in that plant. And last but not least, as they say, it's also very important for us to be able to supply some of our global customers. Some of our customers, global customers, have expressed a lot of interest in having, an additional source of supply in North America, in South America. So I do believe that it also makes sense from that perspective. So again, for all of these reasons, we do believe that this is a very strategic acquisition for us. But having said that, Nikolai, again, this is not going to be a quick turnaround story because, in particular, the challenge as we move into that plant is to improve cost. While the technology is good, is relatively good, the technology, I mean, there is going to be a lot of work required to be able to reduce costs in some of the plants, and again, unload the volume. You know, in some cases, some of these customers have long-term contracts or have contracts that will not be immediately expiring. So it will take some time for us to turn around the the situation in Brazil. But again, same as with Canada, we believe this will be a high value creation in the medium to long term.
Got it. Very clear. Thanks, Pepe.
Next, we'll hear from Felipe Santos of J.P. Morgan.
Hi, hello. Just some questions and some follow-ups. First one, do you think that polyester market's improving and we could be seeing spreads going high in Asia? I know that you mentioned that, but this could be translated to higher spreads in North America too. This is the first question. Second, on this the possible acquisition of Petrobras assets in Brazil, you mentioned this could take some time to be digested. How long would it take to be fully ramped up if you take over the operations? And then would you think that this could be reducing your EBITDA, you could be a cash burn for the company for the next year if you acquire them? And the last question is, how do you see the fourth quarter margins evolving? I mean, Brent prices have gone up, but you have been seeing a lot of volatility in the oil prices, etc. So what is the expectations? I know that you mentioned in the press release that should be going to the high end, but what is the latest view that you have there?
Okay, well, first of all, the polyester market improvement, I think pretty much, I will tell you pretty much what I told Vanessa. We don't expect any significant improvement in the polyester market short term, like this quarter or next quarter. We think it's going to be gradual improvement. And again, at least I would say we are preparing for that, Felipe. So we are not really counting on a significant improvement or change in the margins in the near term. With respect to PQS, I will be as specific as to tell you that at this stage, we would hope that next year or the first year of operations, we will not burn cash. We will be sort of cash neutral in the operation. And then eventually, after we made some changes in the process, improve cost, and hopefully, the market in Asia improves a little bit, and we can perhaps consolidate some sales into Argentina or PTA, we believe that from second year onward, we will be generating positive EBITDA, from there on, and eventually we'll have a strong business there. Now, in terms of the margins for quarter 16, at this stage do not see a big change in margins. As I told you, for polypropylene, we are assuming that they will be similar to where they are today. Again, this is assuming there are no further propylene increases, which, again, we do not expect. We see the spot prices being weaker, and in fact, we expect some propylene price reduction. So we believe, again, if we do have some reduction in propylene, we will be able to maintain margins in polypropylene. And in polyester, well, more than margins, you have to remember polyester. Third quarter is not the strongest season for polyester because demand for PET in particular goes down. Mm-hmm. Summertime is stronger in terms of volume than winter. So we will have in the fourth quarter most likely lower volumes. And indeed, also we have, taking advantage of fourth quarter, we have a shutdown in one of our plants. And one of our large facilities, we have a shutdown that starts next week, and it will probably last until the end of November. So for that reason, it's more than margins, it's a matter of volumes being lower than seasonally than what we have seen in the last two quarters.
Okay, got it. Maybe just one quick follow-up, and then I ask her, sorry, because I couldn't get this in the beginning of the call because of the connection. Could you repeat again the impacts of the hurricane, or what would be the net impact in your EBITDA or estimates guidance on the back of the hurricane and the stoppage they have to do?
Look, at this time, we haven't put a lot of work into looking at the impact in EBITDA and things like that. As I mentioned, for us, we've concentrated our efforts in getting our plants back running and being able to minimize the disruption to our customers. And in that regard, I think we are doing quite well. I think we're going to be, hopefully, again, if plants continue as we are today, I believe we will be able to minimize damage to or impact to our customers. And in terms of EBITDA, I, at this point, I would not be able to tell you. So far, we made preparations before the hurricane. We took a lot of product out of our plants, and we've been supplying our customers out of that inventory that was outside the plant. And as I say, so in a sense, we have not lost a lot of volume, but again, you know, if startups are delayed or logistic problems, I mean, we might suffer some reduction in volume, but I would hope the volume loss is not going to be very large. And then in terms of cost of some of the repairs, I tell you, we have to further analyze what happens in the next week or so to determine how much impact that could have in our EBITDA. And then we have to also look at our insurance, and so it's not an easy answer now. But hopefully, what I'm saying is the loss in terms of the losses from lower volume are not going to be that high. Also, in some cases, we are incurring in higher logistic costs to supply our customers from other locations. So we really have to analyze that more carefully to be able to answer your question.
Okay, got it. Thanks so much.
Next, we'll hear from Diego Mendez of Itaú Asset Management.
Yes, good morning. So my first question is regarding your indebtedness. So you ended the quarter with a pretty strong balance sheet, 1.3 times. So looking to all the acquisitions that you are doing, so the first one on the Selene is now looking for PQS in Brazil. So what would be, let's say, the maximum level of leverage that you feel comfortable? And also, if you could provide a little bit more details in terms of the PQS acquisition, as you mentioned, the asset is not in that good quality. You need to do a lot of improvements on the asset. On top of, let's say, implementing your technology or your way to manage that facility, is there any kind of relevant CapEx that you need to do in order to do all those improvements? Thank you.
Well, as you can imagine, well, in terms of the maximum level of debt to EBITDA, I would say we feel comfortable around 2. However, Diego, I mean, remember that we are in a process as Alpek right now where we, as you mentioned, we do have a couple of acquisitions that we are not still let's say, getting the benefits or full benefits from those acquisitions, if we succeed with Petrobras and then the Canadian plant. We are in the process to start the Corpus Christi facility, which, again, at this stage is not generating EBITDA, but eventually will. It will be an important factor. We are building the cogeneration facility in Altamira, which is the same thing. You have the debt, but you don't have the EBITDA. So what I'm saying is we feel comfortable around 2, but it might be the case that while these projects start up, we might go beyond the 2, for a short period of time until we start operating the new projects. But yeah, we feel comfortable with 2, let's say 2.5 more maximum, but we I would say we would like to be around 2, more than 2.5. But those are, again, the considerations that you have, you know. When you look at the debt in ALPEC, you would not be surprised when I tell you that the debt in ALPEC is not that much higher than the investment in working capital. So when you look at our working capital assets or net working capital and the debt, I think probably the debt will be $300 million more than our working capital. So again, we do believe we are in a healthy situation, but without question, you know, these new projects will certainly have an implication in terms of us, at least temporarily, increasing our debt. Okay? In terms of new investment in CapEx for PQS, again, as you can imagine, Diego, there is a lot of opportunities or a lot of projects to improve that, but we will concentrate first in the most profitable opportunities and the ones with the quicker return. So I don't think in the first 2 years, you will see a significant CapEx. This will be mostly, you know, relatively small CapEx that will give us a lot of return on our investment. We don't have any big CapEx in mind.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next, we'll hear from Vincent Falanga of Bank of America.
Hi, good afternoon, Pepe, Eduardo, and Erna. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two quick ones here. Regarding the Canada acquisition, can you just confirm to us what the stake that ALPEC will have in this plant? And then second, regarding Corpus Christi next year, could you also remind us what is the expected ramp-up that ALPEC has for this plant? In other words, when do you guys expect it to reach a capacity close to 80-90%? Thank you very much.
Okay, well, in terms of the Selenis stake, we have a controlling interest in Selenis, and we are managing this operation from now. And the final stake, honestly, will depend on the results of this plan. So depending on the results, we'll have a larger or lower stake, but in any case, we will have at least control. And that would be let's say the best way to describe that. Having said that, what I say is there's sort of an earn-out in this agreement, and then depending on the results, will be over percentage of the company, but at least 50% or more. And okay. Then Corpus Christi ramp up. Well, we believe this is going to be, you know, relatively quick as the, you know, operations allow for it, because it's going to be one of the lowest cost plants in our system, particularly for certain locations. So we do believe that we are going to be able to ramp up this plant relatively quickly. I would say, 1 year perhaps. Remember, there is always a challenge because customers, it's a new product. Customers have to test the product and approve the product. So I would say 1 year will be a good estimate to be able to be operating the plant at close to capacity.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Very clear.
Okay.
And as a reminder, that is star one. If you'd like to ask a question, next we'll hear from Chelsea Colon of TIAA.
Hi, and thank you for the call. I was just wondering, how should we think about the funding options for the potential acquisition in Brazil and considering all the other projects that you have going on and your internal leverage targets? What are the options there?
I will let Eduardo answer that question.
Thank you, Chelsea. Good morning, and thank you for your question. Regarding our investment plan, All other projects, other than the acquisitions, we plan to fund with our own cash flow and cash on hand. Today, we have $240 million cash on hand, and together with the strong cash flow generation, should be more than enough to cover the investment program that we have, including the largest investment that is the second cogeneration plant that we're building in Altamira. And that also includes the Canada acquisition, which is not that large, so that also has been covered already. In the case of the Brazilian facility, we are looking today at different options to fund that. We are fortunate that our very strong balance sheet allows us to cover the acquisition of this size. Again, our net leverage today is at 1.3 times, so we still have a significant room to reach the levels that Pepe discussed before of 2.0 or even a little higher than that. So we really do not foresee any problems to be able to fund those acquisitions to go out to the market and fund them.
And do you have any committed credit facilities currently that are available?
Yes, we do. We have several credit lines committed, credit lines available for an excess of $300 million.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next, we'll hear from Adan Rodriguez of GBM.
Hello, Jose Eduardo and Hernan. Thank you for taking my question. Regarding your latest investment, can you give us a little bit more color on the Canadian PET market? And additionally, do you have a target quarter on when you could begin producing the PET specialty products you mentioned? Thank you.
Well, again, we are in the process now of developing this plan for the additional products. We are already making an investment to start producing other products. It's a small investment again to have the plant ready for that. But it will not be something that you start and immediately you fill out the plant. So it's going to be a gradual situation. We expect that most of the benefit of specialties will be available to us within the next 3 years. And in terms of the Canadian PET market, we are, as we speak, improving our market position. We have, captured some customers, so we've been able to get some of the Canadian customers. And again, we do believe that within the next year, we will be able to have a significant share of this market.
Okay, thank you. And regarding the polyester fiber, can you give us your outlook for the rest of the year and maybe for next year? Thank you.
Fiber, staple fiber, you mean, I guess, right?
Yeah. Polyester fiber.
Staple fiber. Look, in the staple fiber market, this has been a very weak year for staple fiber. I would even say for textile industry in the U.S., and believe it or not, a lot had to do with a very warm winter last year. A lot of the, you know, particularly the fleece products were not sold because of the warm weather. And so people, a lot of our customers have been destocking for a lot of this year. And more than that, they are now very cautious about building inventories for the next winter season based on what happened to them last year. So that I believe explains most of the problems we have this year, but we are gradually, first of all, recovering the volume that we have lost, and we believe By February next year, we should be back operating our plant at capacity. Okay, we are operating today, we're operating right now like 75% capacity. We were operating at those levels during the last 2 or 3 months, 75%. But we will start one of our idle lines in early November. And again, we do expect to be operating at full by February next year.
Okay, thank you. Great. Have a good day.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Hernan Lozano for any additional or closing comments.
I would just like to thank everyone for participating in today's call. And please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments. Have a nice day, everyone.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.